Man, there is something so transformative that takes place on Easter. There's simply no other celebration quite like it. When you look at all the accounts of Easter in each of the Gospels, what you discover is that each event is filled with wonder and awe, while at the same time it's filled with fear and confusion. The events of Easter are filled with shock and surprise. They seem to defy logic, challenge our reason. They even at times seem contradictory to what we know. But the events of the resurrection are transformative. And what they do is they take what we know and they change everything. They flip it all upside down. They take our expectations and turn it around on us. And it reveals to us something so radically different that it leaves us shocked, it leaves us surprised, and it leaves us filled with joy and wonder. And it moves us to embrace by faith whole new realities. Think about it like this. In Easter, the Prince of Life who died reigns immortal. How about this? Death, which is our end, comes to an end. In Easter, life springs forth from that which took it. And in Easter, true life is found in dying and rising with Jesus. You know, on that very first day of the week, early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and they went to the tomb, fully expecting to anoint the dead body of Jesus and complete his burial process. But upon arriving at the tomb, all of their expectations were suddenly turned upside down as they found the very opposite of everything that they had anticipated. Rather than having to figure out how to roll the stone away, they arrived and they saw a tomb standing wide open. Rather than having to unwrap the burial cloths, they discovered all those burial cloths neatly folded and placed to the side. Rather than a tomb filled with the body of their Lord, they found a tomb empty. And they found themselves confronted by angels. In Luke's resurrection account, the women are confronted by these angels and they bow down in fear. And then the angels ask this pivotal question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. It's interesting, after all that Jesus had told his disciples, how he had prepared them, telling them that the Son of Man must suffer and die and rise on the third day, the women still returned back to his burial place. They came looking for what they believed to be the dead among the dead. They came, though, failing to see that Jesus' death was far from an end. They came failing to see that his death had actually led to life. They were looking for the dead among the dead when Jesus was alive. How often in our own lives do we go searching for things in all the wrong places because of our misunderstandings or misguided expectations? How often do we go looking for life in things that simply steal and take that life away? Think about it. We search for security and freedom in our pursuit of wealth and fortune, only to discover that we become enslaved by the very pursuit and it destabilizes our whole life. We search for love and worth in those around us, hoping that it will ease the insecurities that we have, only to discover that no matter who we're with, those insecurities seem to stay the same. We search for that perfect family in every parenting book and every parenting class. But each and every morning, we wake up to the same little rascals that we put to bed the night before. For many of us, we are going day to day through our routines, and we wake up each morning to the same exact struggle. We ache to grasp what truly matters and to live fully. You could say that we are dying to live. Unfortunately, we misunderstand what life really is, and we end up wasting all of our energy, our time, and resources on what's fleeting, on what's temporary. We turn to quick fixes and shortcuts and feel-good moments of escapism, and we hope that one day life will finally feel like living. That Sunday morning when the women got up, they were hoping that one day life would once again feel like living. But that day, all that they knew, all that they were able to see, all that they were able to feel was what was right in front of them. After seeing the betrayal and the beatings, witnessing the cross and the crucifixion, and watching as Jesus died with that feeling of defeat, all that they could see was a tomb and a grave and his death. And so they went looking for him in the only place they knew to find him, among the dead. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." That morning, the women had their eyes fixed on what was temporary. The cross, the crucifixion, the grave, and the tomb. All these things temporary, all these things would pass away. But with their eyes fixed on these earthly events, all they could see was death. But the thing about Easter is it's full of surprises. It takes what we know and what we think and what we expect, and it turns it all around on us. It turns it upside down. You see, they thought that Jesus was dead, but he was alive. He was the Prince of Life who died, but was now reigning immortal. They thought that death had won, but death, which is our end, had come to an end. They thought that the cross had only brought death, but life had sprung forth from that which took it. The surprise of Easter is that death becomes a beginning instead of an ending, and it becomes the means by which we enter into new life. A surprising revelation of Easter is that death does not have the last word. It does not have or hold Jesus back. The defeat of the cross becomes the triumph of the resurrection because Jesus died to live. You see, what those women expected to see in the tomb that morning was death and defeat. But what was unseen was the life-giving body of Jesus Christ, because that morning that stone was rolled away and Jesus walked out of that tomb truly and fully alive. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You see, in the resurrection, God displays an eternal truth, that the death of Jesus leads to life. Every day we wake up. We wake up dying to live, dying to grow, dying to flourish, dying to embrace joy and experience true pleasure, aching to grasp a life, but a life that is only found when we look for it in Jesus Christ, the risen one. He is the one that came to give us life and life to the fullest. And the surprise of Easter is that the life that we have been dying for comes, ironically, through death. It comes when we die to ourselves. Galatians 2 tells us, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith and the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The life that you have been dying to live is found in dying to self and rising with Jesus. The women are told that morning at the tomb, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Today, this Easter, stop looking for life in all the dead places. Stop searching for it in all the places that seem to steal it away. Rather, give yourself over to Jesus and discover life in the one who truly lives. Die to your old self. Let it be drowned in the waters of your baptism. Let it be crucified with Christ so that you would rise to a new life. And know that outwardly we may be wasting away, but day by day God is renewing us because he has hidden the life of Christ in you. So do not lose heart. Each day wake up as though it was once again Easter morning. Die to yourself and rise with Christ and live the life that he has given to you. Know that the one who died to live is bringing life to you. And so this morning, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. We fix our eyes on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we fix our eyes on his eternal and everlasting salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.